for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Journey of Joy from our series, Glaze, for the conclusion of A Journey of Joy.
If we have heard the message of Christ, if we have received the message of Christ, and if we have acted on the message of Christ, you are faithful. You are counted among the faithful. And so the song implores us, oh, come all ye faithful. And notice the place where we are called in the song. In the song, and we know in the scripture, Micah 5:2, my brother talked about it last week. In Bethlehem he was born. And so we are called to come to Bethlehem. You know, several years ago, I went to the Holy Land and love it. I definitely want to go back again, Lord willing, in this lifetime. But one of the places that we went was Bethlehem. So is the Lord and the songwriter, is the songwriter calling us to come, you know, to spend? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. $4,000, right? In any trip that you take to the Holy Land, you know, it's going to cost you $4,000. That's why maybe the next time I go, I'm going to try to take a bunch of people with me because they said that pastors go free. The pastors go free. So, you know, maybe if I could get about 10, 15 people to go with me, my trip will be paid for, right? But if you're going to go to the Holy Land, it's going to cost you about $4,000, right? It's going to cost you at least that. And so is God and the songwriter, are they calling us to save up our money and book a trip to the Holy Land? No. That's not feasible for everyone. What is the call? Oh, come all ye faithful. You know, come to Bethlehem. What are we being implored to do? Let me propose this to you. That at least, at least once a year, we should go to Bethlehem. At least once a year, we should go to Bethlehem. No, but I'm not saying get on a plane and go to the Holy Land. I'm saying spiritually, in our minds and in our hearts, we should take a trip to Bethlehem. And as we take this trip to Bethlehem, we are beholding the King of Angels. As we take this trip to Bethlehem, we are beholding Christ the Lord. And so I want you to journey with me this morning. Let's go to Bethlehem. The song calls us to go to Bethlehem. The great invitation, oh, come all ye faithful. If you are here today and you have heard the message, you've received the message, you've acted on the message, you are the faithful. Come with me to Bethlehem this morning. And you know, in my PowerPoint, I had slides that would take us to Bethlehem. But just in your mind, journey with me to Bethlehem. And let us look at the child in the manger. Let us look at the babe in the manger. And my brother, he kind of hinted on it last week. He dealt with it a little bit. But let's go to Bethlehem, right? Come and behold him, right? Look at the manger. What do you see there? You see a king who became a servant. You see a royal being. who humbled himself to be born in a manger and to become a servant. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's look at the child. And as we look at the child, we see 100% God that we see as we journey to Bethlehem. Oh, come. Oh, come. As we come, we see the child who is 100% God wrapping around himself 100% humanity. That he never stopped being God. He always continued to be God. But now as we view him, that here he is taking on, now he's taking on getting tired, getting hungry, getting weary, crying. He's taking on these things. He didn't give up anything, but he's taking on these things as we visit Bethlehem. As we visit Bethlehem, let us look at a king who was worshipped in glory, accepted in glory, lauded in glory, but rejected on this earth. As we visit Bethlehem, and these next two things, as we look at that babe in the manger, are probably the two most powerful things. That he had all the attributes of deity. That whatever God was, that Jesus was exactly. And as my brother brought out last week, he didn't count it robbery. He didn't think it was taking anything away to say he was equal with God. And so he could heal. He could allow the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He could turn food and multiply it. He could do all those things. But when he was lying there in that manger, he chose not to use them. Right? He chose not to use them. When you look at Bethlehem, what does Bethlehem represent? It represents God becoming man. So here he lies, and perfect illustration, and I think my brother gave it last week, when they came to take Jesus in the garden, and Peter jumped up and he cut off the guy's ear, right? And Jesus said, put up your sword. He said, I could call 72,000 angels to come down. He possessed deity in every way that God possessed it. But he chose not to use it. And then the last thing, the most powerful thing, I think, or one of the most powerful things, is that even though he was equal to God, he willingly chose to submit himself to God. Never stopped being God, but chose to submit himself to God. He had just as much in everything that God had, but he chose to submit himself to the Father. And so, as we visit Bethlehem, let us remember those things. That, as the song writer said, oh, come, all ye faithful. Oh, come, all ye faithful. And notice how it says to come. Joyful and triumphant. Joyful and triumphant. Those should be two things that are characteristic of every child of God. That you should be a joyful individual. I'm not saying that you should walk around, you know, with a silly grin on your face and, you know, a crazy smile on your face. That's not what I'm saying. But there ought to be something in your spirit, deep down inside, that you come and you come joyfully. That you're able to have that inner feeling of rejoicing because of this relationship that you have with God. Man, if you're not happy about anything else, you should be happy about the fact that you have a relationship with God. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful. But notice what it also says, triumphant. seen a day when I've seen so many discouraged and so many defeated Christians, right? We're supposed to come joyful and triumphant. Somebody said to one person, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? You are to walk in victory that because Christ came, died, rose again, that he had the victory, and that we also are supposed to come victorious. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching onward to Zion, that beautiful city of God.
We're marching to Zion.
No, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful. That's victory. That's victory. And so, oh, come, let us adore him. Come, joyful and triumphant. But then, I'm going to finish with this. And that is, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. And let me say that as we look at adoring him, and we sang the song, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You, the faithful, have been invited to Bethlehem. You've been invited to come joyfully, victoriously, and what is the purpose? The purpose is to come, let us adore him. Just for a few minutes, let's look at the word adore. Let's look at the word adore and realize that we can have joy when we adore him. The A in adore, it stands for that very thing, to adore. The A stands for adore. Well, what does it mean to adore? In Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. What does it mean to adore? The psalmist said here, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know what that means, to behold? To take a long look at. To gaze. If you are going to adore the Lord, you got to take a long look at him. Just think. Now, we know that the wise men came about a year later, right? And they came to the house where he was. But they brought him gifts to worship him and adore him. Can you imagine that here they had received message about a year ago and seen the star and started following the star and had been going for, you know, almost a year they had been traveling. Can you imagine traveling that far and going and say, what? What? If you travel a year to come see somebody, right, you're going to do more than take a cursory glance at. You're going to do one of these numbers here, you know. If you got a bad back or you got bad legs, you're going to do this. That this Christmas, we need to adore Christ. We need to behold the beauty. Man, I love going to churches sometimes, you know, when the preacher gets happy, right? The preacher, now he done preached the word, right? So he just didn't get up and start making a bunch of noise. He done preached the word, And now he went into the celebration. And then he goes into the celebration, and what do the other preachers do? They stand up and they do. Right? What do? They're beholding. They're looking at. Go ahead, preach, Doc. You doing it now. Yeah. Go ahead. Right? It means to take a look at. Adore. Well, the second thing we see, that it means to delight in. So not only do you look at, but you take a delighted look. The D stands for delight. Look at Psalm 37 in verse 4. And it says here, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. What does it mean to delight? To delight means to find joy and pleasure. That this is where my joy is. This is where my pleasure is. Can you say that as the faithful, as one who has heard the message, who has embraced the message, and who has acted on the message like the shepherds did? Can you say that you delight in the Lord? That when you think of this time of the year, when you think of that babe lying in the manger, that you delight, that that's where your joy. I remember my daughter, Nicole, when she was little, about 5 years old, right? And she loved popcorn. And whenever, you know, we would say we were going to pop some popcorn, man, you should see how her face just lit up. There was just a great big delight on her face when we talked about popping popcorn. Well, you know what? That's the way it should be with the child of God. That when we come and we behold him, that there should be something in our spirit that delights in him. Oh, come, let us adore him. The O stands for ovation. And what does it mean? Ovation means to clap your hands. Look at Psalm 47 in verse 1. Psalm 47 in verse 1. Clap your hands, O you peoples. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And notice when it says clap your hands, right? So look at this. Look at this, right? I've come to adore. I'm standing to appreciate. Now just think about this for a minute. That whenever you clap your hands, that's a sign of two things. It's a sign of recognition and appreciation. Right? That you are recognizing someone for something that they did, and you're saying that I appreciate what you've done. If I'm adoring Christ, I'm not saying that you got to clap your hands, but there ought to be a clap in your heart. Right? I'm clapping. I'm recognizing. Oh, my goodness. I'm recognizing and I'm appreciating what he has done. That he left the glories of heaven and he's come into this manger. The songwriter implores us, come to Bethlehem. Come to Bethlehem. You might not have $4,000, but you can come to Bethlehem. You can come at least once a year to Bethlehem. Maybe more than once a year, but at least once a year, you ought to be able to come to Bethlehem and not only adore, not only admire, not only delight yourself, not only appreciate, not only recognize, adore, but the R, it stands for reverence. The R stands for reverence. And that is Psalm 22 in verse 23. Psalm 22 in verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All the seed of Israel. To fear him, to reverence him, means to, all right. See watch the progressive. You ever see those, I teach a class on apologetics. And we teach about evolution, right? And they got the apes, right? Where the apes start out like this, and they progress along, right? And then the ape becomes a higher ape, eventually a higher ape, and then all of a sudden the ape man, comes up and, is a man, right? Well, take that progression toward Bethlehem, right? That we adore him. We delight in him. We appreciate him. And then we reverence him. Which means that now we're bowing down. We're bowing in our hearts. We're submitting to him. You know, oh, come, let us adore him. See, we just can't sing words. But now we got to understand, what does that mean? It means that now I'm submitting to him. I'm bowing in my heart. I'm fearing him. I'm reverencing him. I'm saying, I give you all respect. I give you all reverence. And I set you apart as one who is holy, one that I delight in, to adore. And then finally, we see that the E, it stands for, whew, I wish I had my PowerPoint this morning. I could preach this thing. All right. The E stands for esteem. And what does it mean to esteem? Esteem means to give worth. I've adored. I've delighted. I've obeyed it. I've reverenced. Right? And now what do I do? I esteem. I give worth to what's here. That now, here's where not only do I give up my worship, I give up myself, I give up my substance to this one. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Is he worth something to you? Wow. Is he worth something to you? He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised. And so much more. He's more than amazing. He's more than wonderful. He's more than marvelous. He's more than miraculous could ever be. Man, Jesus is worth something to me. There was a man who was having a problem with a machine in his office. And he called an expert to come in and work on it. And the guy studied it for about 10, 15 minutes. And then he tapped on the side of it and it started working. And the guy, he said, oh man, this is great. He said, I can get back to business. I can get back to work now. And the man said, that'll be $1,000. He said, $1,000? He said, all you did was tap the machine. He said, how you charging me that? He said, well, I'm just charging you $1 for the tap. And $999 to know where to tap. it meant something to know where to tap. And Jesus, he knows where to tap. He knows where to tap. He knows where to tap into my sin. He died on the cross. He knows where to tap into my need. That I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He knows how to tap into my strength. When I am weak, then I'm strong. He knows where to tap on this old preacher. Right? And so, oh come. Oh come. All you faithful. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Journey of Celebration. If you would like to reach A Journey of Joy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Joy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Joy. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.